Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here, and welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steve and who? Once again, I'm going solo. I'm on my own. It is what it is. Larson's still on vacation. I did get confirmation that he is, in fact, alive, though, via the Facebook. I saw vacation pictures of Larson, and he's alive, so we're good. Anyways, it's actually at youtube.com/Steve and Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button or download button. I forget what it is on the old phone and on YouTube. Hit that little notify bell. Be sure you're subscribed because like for the past week or so, ever since YouTube did their like sub deletion thing, we've been in the red. We've been dropping subs like crazy. I don't know what the deal is. People don't like this whole Just Steve thing. Anyways. We're there. We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. I don't know what's going on. We only have like today, we only have like 35 people watching this. Is Larson that much of a ratings draw? Usually we have like 70 people watching the Raw recap show and we've got 33, 35. I don't have the number in front of me. What is going on with that? Listen, people. I'm big news. I'm a draw. I don't know where you're all at. Anyways, at patreon.com/Steven Larson, you guys can help support the show and enjoy 3 weekly recap live streams. We recap Raw, SmackDown, NXT 205 Live, all those podcasts. You guys get to hang out with us before the show and after the show. Today, I power ranked cereal. Frosted Mini Wheats came in at number one because it's the best cereal there is. Each Mini Wheat is a joy. We're also, at the $50 mark. Look at this beautiful shirt. Look at this. I have a whole bunch of stack of these shirts all packaged up, ready to go for the June and July patrons because I'm freaking slow on that stuff. So anyways, $50, you get a shirt. You can hop in for $50, get the shirt, get the Friendo Care Package, which was very soon going to be done, and then hop back out down to like the $5 tier, best value, or just $50 and then nothing, and you get all that stuff. You don't have to keep on doing that. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Look at that. That's a beautiful shirt. Don't you want that shirt? Sure you do. You know what else we got? This shirt here. Original Fuck Wrestling right there. This guy too. Friendo's shirt. It's all good stuff at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Lots of really, really good designs there. Anyways. Oh, yeah. This episode, man, I've been getting a bunch of orders from my Etsy shop. This episode, because it's just me, is officially sponsored by the Friendo Workshop, etsy.com/shop/MFSteve here. The link is in the description. Do you guys know I'm an artist? I draw shit. Look, I drew a picture of my own head. You can have a print like this at my shop. I also did comic books. They're on the floor over there. I'm not going to bend down and pick them up. That'd be weird. That's a sponsor for the show. And every time I get a new order, my phone makes cash register sound. So you guys can do that. Wake me up in the middle of the night with the sound of cash register. It's been happening for the last 24 hours because yesterday's episode was sponsored by me as well. So good for me. Anyways, we're not here to talk about all that. We're here to talk about Raw. Wait, no, it's Larson's thing. I go, Raw. So we are 2 weeks away from SummerSlam. And I'm looking at this episode. I think it was good. I watched most of it live. Again, I've mentioned this on the show before. It's always difficult. I think I was entertained last night. I was entertained. There was a lot to like about last night, especially that main event. Oh, boy. That was something else. Couple slogs. The Bray Wyatt Finn Balor. That was a burp coming up. The Bray Wyatt Finn Balor thing was a snooze fest. I don't know. You can't just toss Bray Wyatt on the mic with zero direction and get something entertaining out of it. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to talk. But when you have two guys who just sort of look cool and one guy who talks cool, a.k.a. Finn Balor, and then Bray Wyatt who talks cool and looks cool, you still need something. You still need some story. You need them to do something for, you know, people to care about their match. I think there's only one more week. I think next week is the go-home to SummerSlam. Yes, it is. And we still don't really know why these two are... I mean, I know why Finn's in a feud, because Bray is kind of doing his weird taunting thing. So Finn doesn't really have much of a choice but to be in this. But why is Bray messing with Finn? I don't know. Do you know? Because I don't. And I don't really care at this point. There needs to be something there, man. Anyways, we'll start at the beginning like we usually do. I had to write my own notes. Because Larson's not here. That's all right, though. Made me pay attention. I actually paid attention this episode of Raw for once. There was a lot to like, though, like I said. It started out with Miz TV. Miz called out Jason Jordan. Said he's tired of being cheap-shotted. And instead of Jason Jordan, his dad, his storyline dad, Kurt Angle, comes out. And he says, Jason Jordan's not coming out, but there's a guy who is going to come out. He's coming out right now. And it's Brock Lesnar wearing the bluest shirt I've ever seen in my life. I mean, honestly, like, do you want people to think he's going to SmackDown? Because that's what I thought. Oh, my God, Brock Lesnar's wearing a SmackDown shirt. It was just a blue version of his shirt. They were in Toronto. I'm assuming that's a Toronto sports color. I don't know. Anyways, he comes out. Kurt Angle. I'm sorry, Paul Heyman comes out with him. Miz starts talking a lot of crap. Basically, which I actually kind of like this. Because Miz didn't give a shit. Usually people are in there with Brock. I went to SummerSlam thing last year. Brock Lesnar was 20, 30 feet away, and I was terrified. I wasn't going to ask him any questions. Them boys from Mutt Culture did. I was like, oh, that's, you know, taking your life in your own hands, boys. Live and learn. A mistake of youth, as I like to say. I wasn't going to interview Brock Lesnar. He scares the crap out of me. But Miz didn't give an F. He was in there talking all sorts of shit. He was saying, if I was a betting man, I'd put my money on Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, or Braun Strowman, I wouldn't put my money on you. Granted, he had the Miztourage between him and Brock Lesnar, but yeesh. I would, you know, come on, look at how they booked Bo Dallas and the other guy, Curtis Axel. I mean, you know, Brock could go through them like butter, and he did. Paul Heyman got on the mic and said, do you and your wife like to role play, Miz? And I was thinking we're going to get a Paul Heyman Miz live sex show coming up, but no. Paul Heyman said, we're going to role play. He said, Miz, you're going to be Roman Reigns. Bo Dallas, you're going to be Samoa Joe. And Curtis Axel, you get to be Braun Strowman. And then Brock Lesnar just completely annihilated all three men. It was pretty cool. It was, I mean, look, I would love to see a rivalry between The Miz and Brock Lesnar. It's not going to happen. That'd be kind of rad. I don't know. I mean, they gave Brock something to do that didn't involve the other three guys in his match. But this is, tell me this isn't becoming the best feud in the WWE right now. What else is out there? We got the mess that is AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, which should, by all means, be the best feud in wrestling right now. And it's just kind of a mess. You got AJ in there and Kevin Owens, and they should be putting on the best matches every single time out. And instead, it's just kind of weird. Like, they got these weird, clunky finishes. Who else is feuding right now? Are there any other good feuds? Bayley's done. She's not going to be at SummerSlam. They figured that out, kind of. You got this Seth Ambrose thing. That's not a feud. Jinder and Shinsuke. That feud hasn't even started. And there's, like, two episodes of SmackDown left before SummerSlam. So, what other feuds am I not? I mean, Akira Tozawa versus Neville, that's good, but it's 205 Live good. It's like, you know, Cruiserweight good. over on NXT, you've got Bobby Roode, and I mean, you got Asuka versus a bunch of lumps in the women's division over there. You got Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre. It's not even a feud. You got more, like, there's more of a feud building around a match that isn't going to happen with Roderick Strong over there. The Miz is in a feud with Jason Jordan. They didn't even encounter each other last night. This is like Roman Braun, so far for my money, is feud of the year. And this Universal title buildup has been spectacular. It's just a bunch of big bastards beating the crap out of each other. That main event last night was fantastic. Braun, I didn't realize until I saw the replay. Because I was sort of like, I was paying attention, but I was like, I think I looked away for a second. I heard Corey Graves say, whoa, when Braun launched like a football. He launched an office chair. Those things, I have an office chair akin to that right there. That is not something that I could just throw. I could maybe, like, with two hands, like, lug it. But I'm not pitching that thing like a fastball. And that's what Braun did last night with an office chair. This feud has been great. So why not have Brock come out and destroy Miz TV? It's something different. I'm fine with that. Do we really need Miz and Jason Jordan mixing it up? He's already going to... Did they confirm that Jason Jordan's fighting for the IC title? Has that been confirmed yet? I don't know how it's been confirmed. Jason Jordan better lose that. He was getting... That Toronto crowd was weird last night. They were booing everything. Let's see here. Seth versus Sheamus was next. This was a decent match. It wasn't as good as what we got later with Ambrose versus Cesaro, which was like a pay-per-view level match. That was a really good match. Seth versus Sheamus was good. It wasn't anything special. We had, and there was one part I actually started cracking up at, and that's when Sheamus was sort of on his hands and knees, kind of. And Seth had him by the head, and he was just kicking his head. But it just can't. I don't think the fastest man in the world, who's that? Usain Bolt? Not anymore, but still kind of. Could do, like, in that position, the kicks just aren't going to be that fast. But Corey Graves was selling this shit. Oh my God, those kicks are so fast. Rapid fire kicks. And they were just like really slow kicks. It looked goofy. Not everything's going to work, people. Anyways, it was a decent enough match. Cesaro caused a distraction. Figured that was going to happen. Sheamus got a roll up win. And then they destroyed Seth Rollins. Crowd, me, announcers, even the heels all thought Ambrose was going to come out. They're all expecting his music. Nothing happened. No Ambrose. He just sat back there like an asshole. So they destroy Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, the next thing we see is Seth Rollins going back. I think we cut to commercial. Come back, Seth Rollins backstage steaming. Runs into Ambrose, coincidentally. Ambrose is like, what do you want from me? And Seth is like, I'd like you to freaking help me. And Ambrose is like, I'm done helping you. That was a one-time thing. You're on your own. I don't trust you. Seth says, what do I have to do to earn your trust? Starts yelling at him. So anyways, that was an open-ended question. That would be solved later on. Jason Jordan came out to a chorus of boos. I don't know what they're doing with Jason Jordan. I really hope they have a plan for him to become, I don't know, like a real jerk. Because he was kind of showing signs of it. He comes out wearing, I swear that singlet was ugly. He was wearing red, white, and blue, what looked like red, white, and blue vomit, sort of on the top part. But then the bottom part was kind of the same kind of tone as his skin. So if you blurred your eyes a lot, he looked like he was a Ken doll with no pants on, but wearing like a raggedy red, white, and blue tank top. It was not good. His music is terrible. I feel like, I don't know. I hope that they're doing bad things with Jason Jordan for a reason. Anyways, he comes out. Oh, backstage. I forgot about this. Backstage, Kurt Angle was like, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? Curtis Axel was supposed to be Jason Jordan's opponent. What are we going to do? And he's just sitting next to Curtis Axel, who's still nursing the Brock Lesnar injuries, which were probably real. So Kurt looks off to the side. It was comedically filmed, whether they meant to or not. But you got the camera on Kurt, and then he's like, what are we going to do? And then the camera sort of pans over, and there's this, like, jobber McJobs-a-lot. Like, the most jobberest-looking dude ever seen in my life. Waiting around. And I feel like, is somebody at WWE watching Global Force? Are they watching Impact? Because there's that dude, Richard Justice, the wrestler in waiting, who's the guy who's just always getting ready to be out there. Was this a rib on that? Anyways, his name was Pierre Goulet, and he was milling about backstage. Kurt Angle says, come here, Pierre Goulet. No, I'm sorry, Jean-Pierre Goulet. And he sends him out there to get destroyed by his son, Jason Jordan. Crowd was super behind Jean-Pierre Goulet, saying, yay, let's go, jobber. Lots of boos for Jordan. At one point, Jean-Pierre Goulet smacks Jordan in the face. Jordan looks like he gets legit pissed. And Jordan like lays into him, gives him that cool neck breaker finisher of his, gets the pin, 1-2-3. Jason Jordan goes over. People boo him. That's all right. I hope they need to do something cool with him, though. Like, if they're just going to have him be the guy who comes out and gets booed by everybody and then gives weak promos, it's not going to work. Kind of cool if he just went super heel on Miz, like he out-heeled Miz. Dude, they got to do something. They cannot have him win that Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam. It just doesn't make any sense. The Miz is too good. The Miz, I'm pretty sure at this point, The Miz is legitimately the best Intercontinental champion of all time. Anyways, let's see here. Bayley came back out. I'm sorry, Bayley came out. Arm in sling with like the most loose face I've ever seen in my life. She comes out. She's getting booed. She's being interviewed by Charlie in the middle of the ring. Charlie says, look up at the screen. We're going to show how you got injured. They showed it in slow-mo. Bayley did not watch. Charlie says, you know, what do you think about this? And, you know, it had been announced earlier in the day that they were going to have two triple threat matches. One that had Sasha Banks in it. The other that had Nia Jax in it. I wonder who's going to win those to go on to fight for the SummerSlam spot next week. Let's see here. Bayley says, I don't want to watch that stuff. I'm bummed out, but I'm pretty sure Sasha Banks is going to win this because she's my best friend. So Sasha Banks then came out, looked amazing, looked like $1 million. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. She came out for her match, triple threat match. Alicia Fox knew she wasn't going to win. And Emma knew she wasn't going to win. But people really love Emma. I really love Emma, man. I like Alicia Fox too, but man, Emma's good. She was doing some cool shit. She did like a weird... not a weird, but they're on the outside. They sort of brawled to the outside. Emma got Sasha in like a German suplex thing and like sort of suplexed her from floor to apron. So that was kind of cool. Crowd is super behind Emma. At one point, Sasha did the thing where she put somebody like in the corner, strung out across the middle ropes, and then like stomped with her knees, I think. Went for the pin. Emma runs in. Sort of grabs Sasha, throws her away, and then goes for the three count. That ref was a millimeter away from calling that a three count, but he called it a two and, I don't know, 9/10 or whatever you want to call it. Alicia Fox kicked out. Sasha then took out Emma, hit a backstabber to the bank statement on Alicia Fox. Emma snuck in, threw Sasha off, went for the pin. She ended up getting in the bank statement. Taps out. Sasha Banks wins. She was taking on the winner of Nia Jax versus Jobber and Jobber later on. After that, we got a Braun Strowman interview with Renee Young. It was great. It was Braun talking about enjoying hurting Roman Reigns. I'm telling you. Best feud of the year, man. I really like it when he's groaning in pain. Stuff like that. I really like it when Roman's hurting. He's garbage. So that was fun. Enzo Amore comes out. People pop for whatever reason. He comes out. He talks. Well, Big Show comes out. The club interrupt them. The club calls Enzo and Big Show a nerd or nerds. So that leads to a match. Enzo almost won that. Enzo almost got like a sneaky roll-up win here. But then he got a massive boot to the face by Carl Anderson, who got the pin. That was sort of as Cass was walking down, stalking Enzo and Big Show. So Big Show got on, but then as he was sort of chasing Enzo, he was like very sort of, I don't know, in a very mellow way, stalking Enzo. Big Show somehow came out of nowhere and just doled out a knockout punch. Pretty great. So apparently I heard, I don't know, is this true? They're going to do a match with Big Show and Cass, and Enzo's going to be in a shark tank up above the ring. Is that true? Is Enzo like afraid of heights? Or are they just punishing the guy? Is he like legit afraid of heights? What's that all about? Anyways, that should be entertaining. It's like, when I heard that, I was like, hey, you know, if you want to make things entertaining at SummerSlam with these guys, that's one way to do it. Put Enzo in a shark tank. Anyways, Finn Balor comes out. People are happy. Who doesn't love Finn Balor? He looks very cool. That's what we established here last week. Regardless of what the undead commissioner Ulysses says, Finn Balor is cool. Anyways, he has a mic, so he's going to actually talk for once instead of just stare and look neat. And he basically says, what did he say? He says, whatever you start, I'm going to finish. And some other stuff. Bray showed up in the ring, but they did the thing where like the lights go down and Bray is in the middle of the ring, but Finn Balor is like perched up on the turnbuckle. Bray laughs about that. He attacks Balor. Balor is able to evade and counter with a kick, a sling blade. Lights go back out. Then they like one light comes back on and Finn is in the middle of the ring, sort of looking around, figuring out where Bray is. Bray's back on the Titantron. Oh, man! Can't find me, Finn Balor. Look at me, man. I'm under the ring, but they got this video of me up here, man. Make it seem like I teleported to the bowels of the arena, man. Yeah, I don't get this, man. I don't get this. Why do I care about this? Why am I supposed to care about their match? I'm assuming for the go-home, I'm assuming next week they'll give us like a 12-minute segment where Finn is probably going to at least tease the demon. He has to show up at SummerSlam as the demon. I think SummerSlam is the last time we saw the demon. Last year when he got injured. So he's got to at least tease it next week. So that'll build up things. But I feel like there's been a massive wasted opportunity. It honestly feels like all those writers there at the WWE just said, oh no, we're going to work on this other stuff. We're good over here. We're just going to give Bray a microphone. We're going to turn out the lights a bunch. Get some footage of him up there on the Titantron. He'll be very vague. Finn will look cool. Match is sold. I mean, look, I suppose that's as good as anything, right? I mean, at this point, me and Larson would be talking about it, and I'd play devil's advocate, and I'd say, does the story really matter here? It's Bray Wyatt, it's Finn Balor. What are they going to put on the line? The demon persona? Is Bray Wyatt going to come out as a demon? That would actually be pretty cool. I'd watch that. They should have done that. Anyways, moving on. Sheamus, Cesaro. They came out. And then we had Ambrose versus Cesaro. Every once in a while, Raw will pull this off. They'll do something weird. They'll have a really long, really good match. They did that twice. But like in the middle of the show. This is the middle of the show. Sheamus, Ambrose and Cesaro had a really, really good match. All sorts of false finishes. I mean, there were some Sheamus distractions. Cesaro was about to drop a superplex on Ambrose to the, like from the top turnbuckle to the outside of the ring. Crowd was huge into it. Luckily, because that was never going to happen, Ambrose reversed. Still a superplex from the top. Pretty cool. Some cool gut. I always like when Cesaro does those like feats of strength. Those are always cool. When he just gut wrenches people. Those are always neat. There's one cool sequence. Dean went for a suicide dive. Cesaro countered with a nasty uppercut before he was able to launch himself. jumps into the ring and tries to pin Ambrose, really close two count. Ambrose went for a dirty deed. Sheamus distracted him. Cesaro turned to Ambrose, put him in the sharpshooter. He's able to get out of it. Sheamus distracted again. This time it inadvertently led to a Dean Ambrose win. They both pounce on Dean. Seth Rollins does run out almost immediately. Dean Ambrose, in a very dramatic moment, held out the shield fist. Seth thought about it for a good 15 minutes, man. I swear they went to commercial break and came back and he was still thinking about it. And he walked away from the fist. So now Seth was bugging about it last week. You know, we're the shield. Dean said no. This week, he's like, Ambrose, where were you? And then he runs to Ambrose's side. Ambrose offers up the shield. Crowd wanted it. He said, I don't think so. We're not going to do that until SummerSlam or maybe on the go home. But I can't believe they're going to do that until it's the actual SummerSlam match. And they win the titles. They're going to win the titles. One of them's going to throw it out. I'm thinking it'll probably be Dean. Seth is going to reciprocate. Crowd's going to go apeshit. They'll lose those titles at WrestleMania to the Young Bucks. Probably not. Let's see here. They actually mentioned. When did they mention this? During the, I think the tag team match. Wait, what am I thinking of? They mentioned the Revival as like, oh yeah, during the Enzo match. It was just because the club came out. Just a throwaway announcement. Yeah, injury to the Revival. Scott Dawson, or Dash, one of those. Ruptured bicep. That was it. Could require surgery. So that's just, what are the Hardys going to do now? Hardys versus the club, maybe? They got a week to fix that one, huh? Are we going to get like Jeff versus the non-injured Revival guy? Anyways, what else we got going on here? Next up, we had a Titus Worldwide locker room meeting. Everybody's very happy. They're all doing the ha, ha, ha thing. I think they're all doing the cha-ching thing. Neville walks in and says, essentially, you know, again, heel with a good point. Why would you take this match against Daivari tonight when at 205 Live last week, you already secured yourself the number one contendership. You're going to SummerSlam. It's done. Now all you've done is given a chance for a guy who has nothing left to lose to ensure that you don't make it to SummerSlam. There's nothing in this for Daivari to win. If Daivari wins this match, there's nothing in it for him. And he even said that. When he come out and, I think he came out. It was either backstage interview or something. He said, you robbed me of my opportunity to make my name as the next great Iranian wrestler. I'm going to rob you of your opportunity to win the Cruiserweight Championship. All right, Daivari. No, you're not. We all know you're not going to do that. Akira Tozawa actually won in pretty easy fashion in their match. I finished him off with a senton bomb. Daivari tried to go after that shoulder. They're kind of no-selling the shoulder injury now, which I'm not really sure why. But they kind of made that as a kind of a running joke. Kept on asking him, what's up with the shoulder? They did a great backstage segment. There was two great backstage segments. Mike Rome is quickly becoming one of my favorite guys in WWE. They did, they did a WWE.com exclusive video where Mike Rome was back there and he had Carl Anderson's vest and he was like role-playing as him and Gallows and like two-sweeting himself. And then role-playing, like, imaginary club was asking him to two-sweet them. And then Nia Jax, who cracks me up, and Gallows show up. And they start yelling at him for touching Carl Anderson's vest. Call him a nerd. Carl Anderson comes in there. Mike Rome runs away. It was funny stuff. That was hilarious. And then they did another one with Titus Worldwide. They were doing a press conference. And I don't know. It was funny. You got to check it out for yourself. Dana Brooks involved. Anyways, Akira Tozawa won with a senton bomb. Yeah, kind of a, you know, it was a whatever match. It wasn't nearly as good as our 205 Live match, but it was a good, you know, it was 7 minutes of a decent match. Next up, we had Roman Reigns being interviewed. He said he's not scared of Brock. He retired The Undertaker. He's going to beat Braun tonight, and he's walking out SummerSlam as champion. It was exactly what you'd expect from Roman Reigns. Hey, I'll say this, though. Credit to WWE. I'm not tired of Roman Reigns yet. Because they have him in a feud that he should be in. He's in a feud with Braun Strowman. Feud of the year so far. Especially after that match last night. If that didn't put the icing on the cake, I don't know what will. It makes all the sense in the world for Braun Strowman to win that title at SummerSlam. And him and Roman to continue this till Survivor Series. Maybe the Rumble. Anyways. Let's see here. We had next up. Oh, the second triple threat match. Mickie James versus Dana Brooke versus Nia Jax. So this sort of started out same way as it usually does. Mickie and Dana, you know, whoever the all the non-Nia Jax people team up on and try to get Nia Jax taken out of the match. So they do. Things get chippy between Mickie and Dana. They start slapping each other, kind of like it was kind of cool. They're giving it to each other. Dana Brooke looked great. She had some cool ring gear. Nia Jax comes back in, just starts destroying people. Ended it with a big leg drop on Dana Brooke. I love that leg drop, man. Nothing beats good leg drop. Next up, we get a Goldust promo. So are they? The Hardys have to be at SummerSlam. It's the Hardy Boys. Come on. But they're still doing the Goldust promo thing. He said he's basically going to be at SummerSlam looking for the next star of his like little movies. So he's going to be looking for somebody to feud with at SummerSlam, I guess. So, yeah. Good for him. I wonder, like, are they replacing Revival versus Hardys with something? What are they going to do with that? You got 2 weeks. You got one more episode of Raw. Can't tell me the Hardys aren't going to be there. Finally, that brings us to our main event. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns in a last man standing match. By the way, Sasha Banks totally going over next week. It's going to be a good match, though. Her versus Nia Jax. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns, last man standing. This was so much damn fun. A large majority of it. Some of it took place in the ring. A lot of it did not take place in the ring. I already mentioned earlier, and I honestly, like the sequence of events, I don't even know. They went deep into the crowd at one point. They were using everything to just punish each other. One point, Roman. So Braun started out on offense. Roman would make a little bit of gains, but Braun would always come back. So it took Roman getting the steel steps and just murdering Braun with him. It was fun, man. It was so cool. Braun at one point... Roman was coming off the ropes. Braun tried to basically pop him up, sort of grab and throw him into the air. And as he came down, as he did that, Roman hit a Superman punch. That was cool. It went to the outside. Braun at one point went down for a 7 count. I think he was like, he ran into some steel steps or something. I don't know what it was. But there were a couple of near finishes like that where Braun would be down for 7. Roman would be down for like 6 or whatever. Oh, man. They set up a table. I think in the middle of the ring, even if it wasn't, doesn't matter. Pretty sure this was in the ring. This match was all over the place. Roman Reigns basically deadlifted Braun Strowman up onto his back, up onto his shoulders, rather, for a Samoan drop, and he hit that through a table. It was freaking great. It was awesome. How do you not love this feud? It's great. Let's see here. After that, both men got up from that. Roman Reigns was running, Braun went over by like where the bellkeeper, the timekeeper is, the bell thing is. Picks up an office chair as Roman Reigns is running around the corner and launches that thing. I have never seen anybody launch an office chair. I couldn't even launch like a folding chair with that velocity. Nails Roman with it. It was fantastic. Reigns goes down for a 9 count. Gets up. They go deep into the crowd. Then they end up on the stage. Roman drops a... Oh, Braun starts clearing out the table. Roman hits a Superman punch. And then another. That doesn't do it. Braun goes down to sort of the ramp. Roman gets a running start. I mean, they do all sorts of destruction here at the top. Roman just doles out a nasty spear on the ramp. Gets up. And Samoa Joe was in the crowd. So once Roman backs up towards like the corner area, like where the floor begins, where you're right next to the ring, and then but you're like on the corner there where the ramp is, where like Samoa Joe was just chilling there, gets Roman into the coquina clutch, gets over the barricade, and like locks it in. Both men were down at that point. It didn't make a whole lot of sense because at that point the ref should have been counting Braun because Braun was actually down. But I guess we can assume that he was just sort of thrown off by the fact that Samoa Joe had just come out of nowhere. Anyway, Samoa Joe chokes out Roman Reigns to blackness, basically. Roman doesn't get back up. Braun does at the 8 count. Gets back in the ring. Cheers. Everybody starts cheering. It was great. It was fantastic. Not sure what they're going to do next week for the go home, but it should be good. It should be really good. I think they're sort of positioning this so that these last three episodes, because Roman stood tall last week, Braun and Samoa Joe, but more Samoa Joe, I guess, or well, Braun won this week. I'm assuming next week, I don't know. I just get the feeling they're all three men. So you can sort of consider these last three episodes all the go-homes. So it's not necessarily going to matter who stands tall at the end of the go-home in terms of who's going to win at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship. Because I think they're sort of structuring it so that all three men at various times have stood tall. And I don't think it's really going to matter who's the last man sort of standing. But I really get the feeling it's going to be Braun coming out with that title, but it could be Samoa Joe. I don't know. Larson's not here to steer me in the right direction. Anyways. Oh, man. Hell of a, it was a good episode. Tell me one thing in there that was crap besides Finn Bray. Even the Enzo stuff. I'm intrigued by the Enzo thing, I talked about this in yesterday's episode, knowing that they're in such a dilemma that Enzo Amore, right, is kind of a turd, but he's a ratings draw. And this feud, which features an underwhelming heel in Cass, an underwhelming face in Big Show, and Enzo, is kind of a big deal for them. It's so weird. Anyways. Time to answer questions now that the Raw cap is done with. And pulling these from the Patreon. So let's take a look here. Connor Dunmore kicks it off with a question about Rollins and Ambrose. Says, if the Rollins-Ambrose feud concludes with an Ambrose heel turn, can the Shield ever be justified to get back together? Eventually, it'd take another 3 years. I mean, it's been 3 years since then. So I'm assuming that, you know, if Ambrose turns heel and really goes after Seth Rollins. But no, make no mistake. At SummerSlam, they're winning those titles. And after they're done drawing money, they're probably going to have Ambrose turn heel on Seth Rollins. I could totally see that. Probably, I would think by Mania, this isn't like a Cesaro-Sheamus union. This is two singles guys who they think they can make a lot of money with as a tag team. But understanding completely that they probably draw more money as singles guys, they just, you know, the Shield is something everybody wants to see. So yeah, they can always justify a Shield reunion. Doesn't really matter, man. People are always going to want to see the Shield together. Oh, I should have mentioned that too. Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm looking at the chat right now here. The patrons are talking about the fact that Bayley, they were booing the shit out of her. I don't really know why. I don't really get that, to be honest with you. I thought there was some other chants that I thought were kind of questionable. But booing Bayley, yeah, I don't know. She's got like, she has a legit separated shoulder, so she's not going to get to ply her trade. I don't know why that's a reason to like shit on somebody. I don't get it. Like, if you don't like the character, that's fine. But it's just, it seems silly and it seems petty to boo Bayley. I mean, come on, really? I don't know. I'm all for crowds doing what, you know, they're paying their money. I got the feeling they were trying to take over a little bit, though. That's all right. Let's see here. Alex Foster says, should Tozawa be tested since his shoulder recovered so quickly? I'm assuming that's part of the function of Titus Worldwide, is making sure that he's protected from such testing, Alex Foster. Jake Riley asks, what do you make of Jason Jordan and Bayley getting booed out of the building last night? Jason Jordan, I get. I want to boo Jason Jordan. Bayley, I don't understand. Because Jason, here's the thing about Jason Jordan. He's like during his segment with The Miz last week, he had that arrogance, a little bit of arrogance without it really being warranted, because he hasn't really done anything. They gave him the tag titles and they did nothing with them. So I get that. I don't get the Bayley thing. Some people are just, I think the thing about Bayley is, well, J.S. Wooten here in chat has a good point. He says, they are Canadians and they love shitting on popular American faces. Maybe that's it. The thing about Bayley, though, is that we've seen her be, we've talked about this a million times, we've seen her be super over before in NXT. And so, I mean, you know, in that case, if you're going to boo anything, it's going to be, you know, you're booing creative for not handling her right. But, you know, she's doing what she can. Empire of Cleanliness champion Andrew Mullen. Is it even possible at this point for Cesaro to become a world champion? No, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. He's got a great career. He should be very proud of his career. Not everybody has to be world champ. Jinder Mahal is champion right now. So, I mean, it's possible for anybody to be world champ. It really is. If they gave it to Jinder Mahal, they can give it to Cesaro. I don't think they will. Jack Dolan says, how do you feel about the Let's Go jobber chants? I thought they were great. I really did. I thought that was one case where Jason Jordan hasn't earned the cheers. That's a case where just because he's a face, it doesn't mean he has to be cheered. I was fine with the Let's Go jobber chants. You know, that dude's making, what is his name? Jean-Pierre Goulet. Making a name for himself. Good for him. Brock without the K. Lesnar. If John Cena jumps to Raw, who's he going to feud with? Everybody. We'll see Roman Reigns. See Roman Reigns Cena feud. It makes perfect. It makes all the sense in the world. It makes complete and absolute sense. Have him come over and beat Braun for the Universal title, and then Reigns can take it off him at Mania. I still say Cena's the man that Reigns should be fighting at Mania. They could probably put on, I think Cena would be motivated. They could probably put on a good match. Dom the Man Hilberg. So when Roman put Braun through the table that Braun set up, I couldn't help but think of how cliche it is when a wrestler goes through a table that they set up. It's been happening. He says, in the spirit of this, what are some other really cliche things in wrestling? This is where me and Larson would take like 10 seconds of silence and just think about it and not come up with a good answer. I don't know. I don't know. Seriously, this is a right stare. This is what Lars is good for. He's good for a lot of things. I'm joking. I just stare at him. He'd come up with something and I'd say, oh, yeah, okay. And if I have nothing to add, good answer. Oh, man. That's the kind of thing I'll figure it out when the camera goes off. What are some other really cliche things in wrestling? I don't know. There's like a million of them. I don't know. Let's see what you guys have to say. I mean, you guys, I'll wait for chat to respond to this one. Sitting there behind your computers, you guys can come up with some stuff. Darth Cadus. Is the Bailey gimmick dead? No. Nah, it's too strong of a gimmick. It's not dead. It's not dead. Let's see here. James Rodriguez has a good question. What do you think is more likely? Seth and Dean win the tag titles at SummerSlam, or Dean turns heel on Seth at SummerSlam? I think it's they win tag titles. I think they want to get some money out of them first. I think they want to do that. Oh, this is a good one. Michael Berry. If Enzo could time travel and be the manager for any wrestler in history, who would you want him to be with? Oh, Alex C., here's some good cliches in wrestling. The Alex C. says, the go home, stand tall. That's totally true. Jack Dolan says, when they fall back with both their legs. Well, that's just a bump, right? Are you talking about just a regular bump? The lockup and the start. That's how every match starts. I know, you're right. The slingshot is the worst. There's a couple of people are saying slingshot. I can't stand the slingshot either. It's not really a cliche. It's just a crap move. Eva Larson says, losing in your hometown or on your birthday. That's a Vince thing, though. Let's see here. Eddie Jose Guevara Menjivar says, today WWE posted a match between Shield Dean Ambrose and NXT Neville for the U.S. title on NXT. I remember when they did that. How do you feel about WWE doing these type of main roster championship matches on NXT again? If they did, imagine the NXT challenger winning and being a way to storytell their way into the main roster, kind of like Paige did. Yeah, no, I would dig that. I think for Asuka, it would make the most sense at this point. I could see them possibly doing that. Dylan Beck says, one cliche thing I really miss is when the ref would lift up a wrestler's arm to check on them during a submission. And the one, two, and he's not done yet. I remember that. Roll into the ring at the count of nine, yeah. JT has a good question. Is the WWE purposely trying to get Jason Jordan to get booed for a heel turn against Kurt Angle? Hard to think that isn't... It's hard to think that that's not... I don't know, man. I don't know. He goes out there, they put him out there against a jobber that they know is going to be over with the crowd because of the nature of the crowd. He's doing like kind of, he's got like sort of intense heelish mannerisms. Maybe he's going to go crazy after he loses to The Miz at SummerSlam. Starts talking about how discovering his real dad has thrown him into emotional turmoil. Oh, yeah, there you go. T.A. Turnage has a great one here in chat. The turnbuckle either hurts like hell or is a springboard. I hate that. They made fun of it in New Japan. Whenever Yano is trying to take the big pillow off the turnbuckle area there, the corner, and then like he throws Kenny into, you know, I think it was the Omega-Yano match at G1 last week. And when he finally hits the corner, it doesn't make a lick of sense. You're not going to hit it flush. It's in a corner. Master Snagman, save that question for later. But I would win. He says, who would win in a fight, me or James Ellsworth? I would win. Totally. Let's see here. Oh, wow. I just noticed something. Jose GGR has a question about Elias Samson. There was no Elias this week. That's a bummer. He said his Elias's gimmick is the Drifter, actually drifting out of feuds before they actually finish. I think he's done that a couple times now. Aaron G asks, if Neville drops the title at SummerSlam, what's next for him? Does he leave 205 Live to compete on the main Raw roster? Marcius Mark adds, I have a feeling 205 Live is going to be part of the Superstar shakeup. Maybe. Oh, I don't know. I think Neville chasing the title would make for some good stuff. I could see him leaving to compete on the main roster. I could totally see that. He has established himself as far and away bigger than anybody else on that roster. And I feel like they need some room for some more heels to breathe. And Neville going to main roster at this point would be fantastic. I think it'd be great. They just need to make sure he gets some wins, maybe a run with the IC title. Sean Hulver has an interesting question. What do you think they're going to do? What do you think they are doing with Miz right now? If Lesnar retains at SummerSlam, could you see Miz getting the next title shot? I would love to see that at this point. I would really I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see that, though. I think he's just going to keep on being the best Intercontinental Champion ever, though. Oh, Elias was in a dark match. Nice. I got the see the chat also functions like is my producers. Or like behind the couch over there. Hey Steve, Elias is in a dark match. Thanks, guys. It's my Hilton. Let's see here. What was the reason for Seth Rollins not extending out his arm to Dean? It's all emotional stuff. Should Nia and the club become a full faction? Yes! Absolutely they should. Let's see here. That was a question of Leo, the advocate for Leo Rush. I finally saw the bit where he no-sold that ladder into the table bit. You know, I'm all for interesting things in wrestling. Not really for that. Wasn't huge in it. It just seemed like something to do to try to get people to talk as opposed to try to do cool shit that does get people to talk. Just my opinion. Let's see here. Oh, first time patron. Ulysses the Cock Ramirez. If Brock were to drop the Universal title to Samoa Joe and leave the WWE, do you believe he'll be the surprise entering the Royal Rumble, win it, and then go through with Brock versus Roman WrestleMania as expected? Maybe. That could be. They could. I don't know how many dates he has left on his contract. I know his contract runs through WrestleMania, but he has a specific number of dates that he's supposed to work. So if they want to use him heavily between Rumble and Mania, that's a possibility. Maybe he show up at Survivor Series. I don't know. Anybody's guess. Let's see here. Who do you think, who's asking this? Shinshasa is asking this. Who do you think will get to hold singles titles gold first between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable? Sami Zayn always has a chance at winning. I could see them putting Sami Zayn in like an impromptu tag team and winning the titles there. I could see him winning the U.S. title within the next 12 months. And I can't say the same for Chad Gable. He already won the tag championship. I think that's going to be it for him for a while. He might go back down to NXT. I hope not. But I could see that. That's actually a good point here. Power Girls champion KH Christian says, hey, Steve, you're doing a great job. Thank you. Did anyone else see Braun just no-sell the 9 count? I think it was like, was it 9 or was it 8? Might have been 9. Said he just popped right back up. And that bothered me too. Like, it's a struggle. I would think I've never been in a last man standing match. So I've never had to come to from being evidently concussed, from being knocked out. I wouldn't think you just pop up, right? Or maybe you come to and, yeah, you just, you know, oh, God, there's counting. I got to pop up. This is a good point here. Going back to wrestling cliches, we got all sorts of them here in chat. Stevie Bradley says, the slow climb up the ladder for a belt. That's totally, like, why wouldn't you just run up the ladder and grab the belt or this shit. Pawing at it like you're a cat. Give me that ladder. I mean, give me that belt. Anyways. Couple more questions here. There will be no Kayfabe Corner today. I don't have anybody here to play with, man. I mean, I could play with the people in chat. Oh, let's see here. Mark of Steel says the incredibly obvious booking of the two women's triple threat matches tonight on Raw frustrated the hell out of me. Do you prefer booking that may seem random and nonsensical, a la gender is champ, or do you prefer booking that makes more sense but is obvious? If you're referring to gender, I'm fine with that. I didn't think that was as nonsensical as maybe some people thought. He came back looking amazing, looking jacked. So it kind of made sense. Guy works hard, he gets better. I see the point in that, though. When it is random and nonsensical, it can just leave you be like, wait, what happened? Why? But then, you know, you don't ever want the obvious. You don't want to not be surprised. So I would say, what do I prefer? Being surprised, even if it doesn't make any sense. At least at that point, you know, you can just say, well, I want to see where it's going to go, as opposed to I can see where this is going a million miles away. A couple more questions here. That guy says, if you can have two superstars switch gimmicks, which two would it be and why? Jack Gallagher and Braun Strowman. Because, I mean, think about it. Let it sink in. See why now. Let's see here. Scott Hall's toothpick asks, I find it very annoying they use the same women over and over again in Raw and do not give anyone else a chance. Like last night, we all knew it was either going to be Nia or Sasha that faces Alexa at SummerSlam. Then on SmackDown, I feel like anyone can win at any moment within reason, which I really like. Keeps me interested. Book the Raw women's division to make the other women on the show more of a threat. You just need to start doling out more wins. You're right. There's only three people on that show who are actually a threat. Well, four when Bayley wasn't injured. That's why the SmackDown division has more depth. In terms of, but you know, it's what they've built. Absolutely. It's what they've built. Give Dana Brooke more time. I like Dana Brooke. You know, here's the thing about Dana Brooke. She's, I honestly feel that, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but she seems to work hard. I think I follow her on Twitter or Instagram, something like that. She seems to work hard. She seems to not be dramatic about things. So you hear this like heat between Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss, like this real life stuff that Alexa is a politicker and just knows how to talk to people backstage and that's how she gets her opportunities. I have no idea if that's true or not. That could be a work. It could be story. I don't know. It could be not. I don't know. I have no idea. Dana Brooke seems like the kind of person who keeps her head down and works really hard. So I don't know. I don't know what gives me that impression. I always see her in the gym on her Instagram. I think that's great. I just feel like she's a hard worker, and I would love to see her get more opportunities. Emma is a terrific worker. You're absolutely right about this. Emma's a terrific worker. You have Mickie James in your division. Why aren't you doing anything with her? What are you going to do? Let's see here. Oh, that's a good one. Some power. We're going to end on some power rankings here. Oh, here's a request for a Going In Raw view. That's not bad. I don't know if we've done this or not. I don't think we've done this. Hamza Halal is asking for SummerSlam 92 for Going In Raw view. You know what? Just for you, Hamza Halal, I'll put that as some options next time we do it, and it's my turn to choose. I think this next time is Larson's turn to choose. Maybe we can convince him. Maybe you and me can convince him. That drink Flair doesn't need. Great name. Braun Strowman is asking a question. Braun Strowman, chucking a computer chair at Roman Reigns was one of the funniest things I watched on Raw. Power rank some of the funniest moments that you have seen on Raw. I really liked, so number five, I'll go with this. Number one is Austin McMahon in the hospital, when McMahon was in the hospital bed. Number two, Austin singing Kumbaya. Number three, anything involving Kurt Angle, Christian, and Edge. Number four, Brock Lesnar. Shit, this should be higher, but I'm going to say Brock Lesnar taunting Eddie Guerrero by coming out and dancing with the mariachi band. If that ain't the funniest damn thing you ever seen in your life, I don't know what is. That could be number one. And then number five, I really liked when they did, like, all the wrestlers went out on strike. And so it was just Triple H as the ref, CM Punk on commentary, and then what was it, like, Sheamus and I forget who that was. I don't know. And it was like nobody else was there, and they were just going to have a three-hour match. That was really funny. I thought that was really good. Was Cena one of them? Crap. Now it's bugging the crap out of me. Anyways, doesn't matter. Oh, man. So anyway, that's it, man. That's all I got. That's all I got for you guys. I do appreciate you hanging out. I think Larson might be Skyping in tomorrow, although if he's watching, Larson, just stay. Just hang out. Do whatever you want to do. You don't have to do anything. I can hold this down for one more day. Come back on Thursday. We'll do NXT 205 Live and Dirt Sheet. Anyways, for the rest of you, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching just me. Hope I did well. Patrons, of course, stay tuned. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.